It is Friday morning, and if this is your usual routine, you're here listening to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. And we have a very special show for you today. This is going to be a blast. We are introducing someone new, finally. Ooh. Someone who can add something to this podcast that...
Oh, what do you mean?
We have... That Jim hasn't. We all know that it's been okay with me, but, you know, Jim just doesn't have the sparkling personality I do. Let's all welcome from PackersNews.com, our newest edition, Olivia Reiner.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, both of you. I'm feeling very blessed to be in the sacred space with the two of you today.
Oh, it's very sacred.
Yeah. Spoon occupies most of the space.
It's true. It's true. Both verbally and physically. I'm here, of course, with my partner in crime, Jim Osarski, and now we're going to be all partners in crime. And as usual, we're going to preview the upcoming game of the Packers. But first, let's do a little bit of get to know you. And Olivia, why don't you tell us where you're coming from, who you are? Well, you don't have to tell us everything about who you are, but, you know, a few things. And why or what we can expect from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So as has already been mentioned, I'm Olivia Reiner. I am from the Philadelphia area, and I just recently graduated from Northwestern out in Evanston, Illinois, Chicagoland area. I've been getting, a lot of people have been asking me if I'm a Bears fan. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm not at all. So don't worry about that. The last time I was at Soldier Field, I was there for a hockey game. Blackhawks Stadium Series, yeah, 2014.
Those are great.
It was freezing, very cold, and I'm a big hockey fan, so expect some hockey tweets occasionally, if you don't mind that. But,
oh, we love hockey.
Yeah, oh gosh, big fan. Yeah. So yeah, but going forward, going to be doing a lot of video work, hopefully going to get in on some of those Facebook Lives, but also adding an element of video storytelling too, and bringing that up to speed as well with the other wonderful coverage that you guys do. So I'm really excited to be here and especially excited to be on the podcast this morning.
Welcome.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And we're really happy to have you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for you, and we will try to have as much fun as possible on here because that's what we're here for. All right, Jim, who's the opponent? Why should we care?
San Francisco 49ers Monday night. Don't accidentally drive the Lambo on Sunday in your Brewers haze. Actually, you can get tickets, I believe, below face value. I'm not, you know, if you want to get on the secondary market.
Wow.
Tickets are going a little cheap because
everybody's going to the Brewers game, I guess?
Yeah. Brewers Brewers are Monday night game 3 in L.A., so I think there's already a portion of people who are thinking of staying home.
Oh, I might not make it to the game on Monday night.
Peace.
So this game is a little less interesting, I think, than when ESPN booked it, mainly because C.J. Beathard is the quarterback of the 49ers and not one Jimmy Garoppolo and his beautiful smile. So, you know, they're not good. I mean, their top running back is out, their top receiver is out, obviously the quarterback is out, their injury list is... What, a half a dozen players long, if not more?
Oh, it's a dozen.
I mean, they're not a good team. And I think it's, as we said a couple weeks ago, kind of a get-well game for the Packers. Offense and defense, I think there's that opportunity. Because they turn the ball over, and they're just a team that's just struggling now with so many injuries.
Yeah. So is that a good thing or a bad thing for the Packers? Do they need a get well game, or do they need another challenge to get them ready for their schedule after the bye, which is at the Rams, at New England, back home against Atlanta, and then at Seattle, which is like a murderer's row of games for them.
Right. I think they need the get well game. Aaron Rodgers spoke a little bit about this on Thursday, that, you know, with the slow starts to the offense, with the positions they've put the defense in, only averaging 23 points a game as an offense, they need something. They need to be better. And I don't know if playing a, like, for instance, even the Bears, playing a really good team, could they win? Sure. I think they just need something to feel positive about going into a break, in my opinion.
Yeah. Olivia, you were around Rodgers today. I didn't get a chance to listen to him. Was there anything you thought that came out of that, or was he pretty bland today?
There's some spice in there. There's always a little nugget or two. But he did talk about the importance of offensive momentum. And that was something that I thought really stuck out, was once you can get the offense to get going, then everything else can sort of fall into place, and how that could be part of the missing piece to getting this team back on track.
Yeah, they've been terrible out of the gate. Yeah. I mean, just the worst starting team in the world, and they don't get any momentum because of that.
Right, yeah. And there's really no answer to it. I mean, Olivia, you are in with Devontae Adams as well, where it was just kind of like I think Aaron Rodgers called it details, and Devontae Adams called it the little things. Of course, they don't want to elaborate what those are.
What are they?
But I think that's the point, is there's no easy fix, right? I think if it was simple as, I think as some want to make it out to be, as Mike McCarthy doesn't know how to run offense anymore. But it's not that. I think they know what they're doing wrong. I guess in an opponent like San Francisco, again, where you can potentially get some short fields or some punts and more possessions, I think that can help them work on details or little things or whatever they may be.
Yeah, I have a few suggestions.
Oh, go for it.
If they care. Yeah. You know, and one of them was the column I wrote, which I've been writing this column for like 2 years.
They're not listening to you.
Which is, yeah, they just don't listen to me. Ted Thompson wouldn't listen to me. Gutekunst doesn't listen to me. And McCarthy has never listened to me. But it comes back to me, is finding the most explosive players, getting the ball in the hands of the most explosive players you have. I mean, there's only so many of those guys in the NFL, and Aaron Jones is one of those guys. Now, he has some limitations. His blocking isn't great. He's not really going to always hit the exact right hole. He's always looking for something else, and sometimes that gets him in trouble. But the guy has basically more 10-yard or plus gains than just about anybody in the league anytime he touches the ball. Yeah. And you can't just ignore a guy like that the way they did in the second half of the Lions game.
Yeah, I you know, and Mike McCarthy's so insistent on it's more than running. You need to do all those other things, and you got these other guys. But I think to that point, Tom, for an offense that's looking for anything at this point, yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't just hand it off or screen pass it. Or, I mean, it sounds so simple, but I think when you have that guy who's a home run type hitter, at least let him swing. And I think they don't do that.
And I get the fact that, Aaron Jones screwed up and smoked some weed and was out for two games, suspended for two games. And during all that time, Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery were doing what they had to do, and they deserve it. But this is the NFL, and this is professional football.
Right.
And you better put your best guys on the field. I don't care if someone's feelings are hurt.
Right.
You know, and I don't know that that's why McCarthy's doing it. I still think it comes down to pass protection.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jones missed a block against the Bills, and Rodgers took a shot in the ribs because of it. So, but still, I mean, come on. You got to get this guy involved. Do I need to write that column again for the 15th time?
Yeah, you're right. And Mike McCarthy acknowledged that perhaps he should give Aaron Jones more opportunities. There's a weird sort of, you know, yes, more opportunities coming out of the left side of the mouth, and on the right side of the mouth is it's more than running. So I guess I didn't know how to take that on Monday.
All right. Well, look, if you're gonna go with this three-man rotation, at least start with Aaron Jones, right. Okay? So that he gets the most, or gets the first chance to develop the momentum, to develop, establish himself.
Right.
And is a game against San Francisco, is that the best place for them to experiment a little bit with him?
I think so. Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, because this is one of those games now that it's in the box of you should win the game. I mean, they're 10-point favorites for a reason. There's limitations. You're a better team. Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt.
You know, you want to get the passing game going a little bit, but don't get greedy. You know, Rodgers is hurt. You got a chance to, if you can keep him clean, going into the bye week, he gets another week of rest, and then you're going into the Rams game. And, you know, if he doesn't take the hits he took in Detroit, you would think he would make some gains physically over the bye week. And so why not just make this a run and defense game?
Right, know? Especially because Aaron was asked about about that he took an awkward hit in Detroit, mm-hmm. right? So he was asked a little bit. He called it a setback in a way, but he might have an equipment adjustment this week.
Potentially.
Yeah, he's, I think it was, the talking about the brace, he started with a very bulky one a few weeks ago, went to a slimmer one, and why that matters? I mean, it matters to him. Mm-hmm.
You know I think I mean? He said he's not going back to the bulky braids, didn't he?
He's not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He kind of made a joke about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and played it off a little bit.
Yeah, so I think it's...
He's usually not going to tell you exactly what he's going to wear.
Right.
You know, he likes to keep everyone guessing about that.
Well, it's, that's the thing. I guess on one hand, he looked good enough to move around and be tackled the way he was. But to your point, Tom, I think this all... We've been saying this for 3 weeks. You have a player in Aaron Jones who needs the ball more. You have a quarterback who is trying to get healthy. Mm-hmm. There seems to be an answer for both.
Yeah.
Which is just turn around and give it to him.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and I know they... tried to keep with the run game a little bit in Detroit, but I don't know how much longer they can go with this offense being 23 points a game and consistently falling behind and not taking advantage of everyone that they have.
Yep. Okay, so let's look at a couple of the injury situation going into Friday's padded practice. I can't get used to what day it is.
Yes.
Today is Wednesday, but it's a Thursday. Today's a Thursday, but it's Friday, and it's Friday's a Saturday.
But Clay Matthews spoke today, and doesn't he usually speak on Wednesday?
Wednesday is Thursday.
He speaks on Thursdays, but today is technically a Wednesday, even though it's Thursday.
Oh, then he spoke out of turn.
It was Thursday. He did that just to screw you up.
Right, I think, I was a little out of position. I had to race to get a good spot to shoot his
The scrub. One thing you want to do is stay back because he whips that hair back after he stands in facing his locker.
Yeah.
And this is after he's taken a shower, and then he whips his hair back, and everybody gets, like, conditioner all over themselves and stuff. So you're probably pretty lucky you were in the I always wait.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a scene, just... A little brief detour here. AJ Hawk showed up today.
Yes. Your buddy.
Or on Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday. Again, I know I say today, but I don't know what day today is anymore. Whatever. He shows up doing a Packers 100 documentary or something. Even he was out in the hall. He's like, yeah, I'm supposed to interview guys. I don't really know. But it was kind of, it was interesting because his locker used to be next to Aaron's, right?
Or two couple, down. Couple spaces
yeah, so,
down.
So he's kind of, but he was media guy. He had to get the pass and wait out in the hall.
I commented that he has now been in the Packers locker room more than he was his entire career. He was not a guy who liked to be, I mean, nice guy and could talk, I mean, you know, football all day long, but he just didn't like to do interviews and wanted
now
to
here, now here
work
he is
out.
Part of the media.
Yes. Oh, I could go on and on.
About everyone.
Sterling Sharp refused to talk his entire career and then went right on to ESPN.
Yeah.
You know? I mean.
It's like John Fox. Yeah.
So anyway, don't get me started, as they say.
We're trying to. No one cares about the 49ers. So they want to hear about AJ Hawk.
Yes.
And hair whipping.
And hair whipping.
And hair. All right. So who? Well, I was talking about injuries, wasn't
yes,
I?
You were about to.
Okay. So Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, and Jair Alexander, Jermaine Whitehead.
Yeah. Rashad Breeland.
Bashaud Breeland, all took part in the pre-practice, which is running around in individual drills, but we don't know whether they took part in team drills because they kick us out of practice before right. that starts. But that's a good sign for all of those guys. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play, but it means they got a chance.
Right, especially soft tissue muscle injuries, because you never know how severe that is. So, yeah, to be able to see them out there, again, part, you know, I guess Friday, today will be the big day with pads.
Mm-hmm.
To see Geronimo Allison, just to clarify, he's out of the concussion protocol, but he is dealing with a hamstring injury. And yes, to answer questions people might be asking, you can injure a hamstring while in the protocol. Part of, we don't know if that's when he did it, but part of getting out of a concussion protocol is a gradual increase in physical activity. You got to hit certain markers. So it is possible that he, because people noticed that he showed up on the injury report with the hamstring mm-hmm. later in the week last week.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you can do both. You can, it's strange, but it can happen.
Yeah, it's possible he hurt the hamstring.
Even before, right?
In the game.
Right.
You know, and then it just didn't really pop up because he wasn't doing anything,
right.
you know, and was all worried about the concussion, which, so they could use him and Randall Cobb. I thought Randall Cobb looked like he was moving around okay.
Yeah.
But so you Olivia, never know.
What did you think? I'm sorry, Tom.
Yes.
This was, so we went to the Hudson Center because it was very, very cold.
And windy.
And very, very windy. And they did not want to play in such conditions, at least when they have a chance or practice. What was your first impressions of Packers practice, or at least what we're allowed to see, because I'm sure that's a little different than what you've seen before.
Yeah, it's not a ton of action that we can see. It's a lot of stretching.
Yeah.
And what was the machine?
The jugs machine.
The jugs machine. I saw my first jugs machine.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like initiation or whatever, rite of passage. It was, that was great. And I could see where after some time, you can pick up on some of the little details. And Spoon, I'm sure you know all about that.
I'm not going to give away my secret practice, but I watch pretty closely because there's a lot of things you can get out of it, even though we don't get to see the team drills. I did also notice, so this happens every time when a new receiver, usually on the practice squad, joins a team. So they put their hands right in front of the jugs machine. Like inches away. And they fire it right into their hands. And this guy, Hatcher, I don't even know his first name, missed it like 12 straight times. You know, all the other receivers, right into their hands, no problem. But this happens all the time. I saw it during training camp. The new guy, I can't remember his name, a small wide receiver came in. Poof, 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 the ball's going all over
and
his
hands. And it's so close, because it'll bounce off your face.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if they don't. I mean, of course, they're wearing a helmet.
And they're not standing like right in front of it. They're reaching.
It's a little bit of an angle, but if you're.
I always think that's hilarious.
That's horrifying.
We should. Can we like fire digital recorders at you? From close range? Like, catch this!
Journalists.
Like the training. Yeah, I was going to say like the dodgeball movie. Like if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge. We don't have any wrenches.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah. You can take some of the pencils that are stuck up into the ceiling. One thing I did notice, too, was one of the little things I noticed was that Davante Adams took time to work with this guy on footwork drills. So they have very specific footwork. And I just saw him off to the side. You know, he's just showing this guy. And you know, there's a lot of prima donna receivers who probably wouldn't have done that. But to get shown footwork by this guy is, I mean, that's gold because he has the best, some of the best footwork in the NFL.
Yeah, it goes to show you a little bit that it's not always, there's competition, but, you know, I think for, that's, I guess that's what you'd want to see. It's a little insight into a team leader or a position group leader. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams is that, even if Randall Cobb is the most veteran of the group. Because, look, you know, as Mike McCarthy says, it is a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. You need everybody. It's very – I mean, look at this receiver thing we talked about for 2 weeks. I mean, you know, who knows? This guy might be gone next week, but he also may have to play in 3 weeks. So, it's to me, it's an interesting part of practice that you do get to see that not everyone else does.
Yeah. So, two other things that happened this week sort of – in a similar vein, was a couple of defensive guys, I'll say popped off, but it really wasn't that bad.
Right.
But it was interesting. And one was Clinton Dix telling the Wisconsin State Journal that he thinks this will be his last year in Green Bay. He's a free agent at the end of this season. Now, to me, it's not earth-shattering news because they obviously haven't signed him to a extension. Yeah. He hasn't played as maybe as well as he thinks or others expected. But I did have a really long conversation with him, and I'm hoping to turn that into a column on Monday to kind of go over the reality and see where he is, where his mind is about how he's playing and his future. So the other side of this was safety Josh Jones, second-year player, second-round pick, is not seeing the field very often. And he said in our own Clubhouse Live, PackersNews.com Clubhouse Live, that he's not too thrilled with not playing. And made it be known he would like to be playing, and that as a second-round pick, you would think that he would be on the field.
Yeah, that's... I don't know if draft status gives you anything. I mean, it kind of does because if you're a first-round pick, second-round pick, the team clearly believes in you. But I think once you're on a team and you've played a year, I don't know, I think that stuff goes out the window because other players like a Kentrell Bryce or Jermaine Whitehead take advantage of your absence or potential problems on the field in terms of, you know, assignments or knowing what you're supposed to do, probably whatever it may be. So in terms of Josh Jones, that's fine, I guess, that he wants to play more. But, when you're hurt, it's not your fault you're hurt, but clearly he hadn't done enough to just get his playing time back.
Yeah.
Because other guys then performed, at least what the coaches thought was either better or, just frankly better, let's be honest.
So, yeah, neither of you were here last year and with this context, which is that Dom Capers tried to get him into that defense and played him quite a bit, got a special position for him, and he blew all kinds of coverages. I mean, he just struggled to pick up the defense. Then he comes back to training camp, and he's got every chance to win the starting free safety job, but Kentrell Bryce just is, to me, has more football instinct, just natural instinct. Some guys have it better than others, but that didn't mean he couldn't have won the position, and they didn't feel comfortable enough. And I think he has to win, the responsibility or the respect of the coaches. Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what he's supposedly entitled to or what he's earned, how do those sorts of comments impact a locker room?
What do you think? I tend to think that guys blow it off like, I don't care. We all want to play. Maybe it doesn't help him individually, but I don't think it tears the team apart or anything. Do you?
I'll say it this way. Not at this stage, I don't think. I think losing coupled with these types of things can mushroom into something worse. Like, you know, so if they, let's say they beat San Francisco and they go 10-6. Who's going to say, you know, because one guy wants to play more, they're just competitive, they want to play, everyone wants to play, it's not a big deal. If this season goes in the tank and they're 3-7, and then you've got guys chirping about, I should be playing because mm-hmm. we wouldn't be losing. Like, that's when it gets to me a little, that's when it could sprout into something you don't want. Mm-hmm. But then there's other issues, I guess, like on a bad team. But I think at this point, I'd agree with you that it's, right now it's just kind of like, okay, you know, it's easy to brush off. Although David Bakhtiari tweeted at him to say less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, people do pay attention, and David Bakhtiari is one of the best players in the league, let alone on this team.
Yeah, and he tells you to say less, then you should probably say less.
Right.
Now, with Clinton Dix, I've heard all kinds of guys. Contract, the business side is a whole separate thing from playing. And there is not a player who begrudges another for getting as much money as he can. And the question is, are you giving it all? You know, are you protecting yourself against injury in a contract year? When I was a young pup on the beat, 1 year, a week before the season started, the aforementioned Sterling Sharp, who was a stud, you know, he stood up in a team meeting and said, if I don't get a new contract by the end of this week, I just want to let you guys know that I'm not going to be here. You know, I mean, like the week of the season opener, he stood up and told his teammates. And if you don't think that just caused them to, you know, turn on him, it was the dumbest thing he could have ever done.
Right.
And it was, they did wind up giving him more money, and, you know, he ended up playing. But boy, was that a moment.
Yeah, that, and again, I think it's one of those things. I mean, we see it with the Le'Veon Bell situation right now in Pittsburgh, that it's not really a big deal until things start going the wrong way.
Right.
If Pittsburgh came out and ran the ball and were winning, it was fine. But what happens? They lose. They can't run the ball. And all of a sudden, the offensive line is saying, he makes three times as much as we do. He should be here. And you get teammates turning on each other. Now, granted, that's a whole other soap opera, and that's what they do. But I think these things by themselves right now aren't issues. Check back in 5 weeks if this team is 3-6.
Right.
With some bad road losses in L.A. and in New England and Seattle.
Right.
You know.
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of locker room dust-ups or whatever you want to call it, it's pretty minor.
Yeah.
But it still does. It's worth keeping an eye on.
Right.
Because, like you said, if things go south, then that's a little crack in the foundation.
Right.
So, heading into this game, we haven't talked about the defense at all. And going back, I went back and watched the Lions game. And, you know, I was somewhat critical, but I don't think they played as bad as it appeared.
Right.
I think because they gave up two touchdowns on really short drives, they were put in bad position. Take that away, and what, they gave up 17 points?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's, I think, three scoring drives covered 31 yards. Now, they say, to their credit, to some of the guys I talked to, giving up three touchdowns is not, even at the one, I mean, they don't feel that's something they should just give up. So in their view, either turnovers or 9 points is the way to win that. But, no, you're right. I mean, look, it's interesting. Tom, I'm curious how you feel about this. So, me coming in, brand new, a lot of what I heard in Packer fan universe was just get the defense to average. Offense does what it does. This is going to be a great team. Well, you wake up after 5 weeks, and Mike Pettine's defense is number 5 in the league in total yardage. Mm-hmm. Number 11-ish in points allowed, 11-14, top half in points allowed. And yet, but the offense obviously hasn't held up there. And so I'm just curious, like, as you mentioned, maybe not getting enough credit, are they better than the points a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it, the stats say one thing, but, you know, as Mike McCarthy has once said, statistics are for losers.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? How, it's an interesting sort of, what are they? Are they good? Are they average?
Well, I'll tell you the one thing that's been missing are our turnovers.
Yeah.
And a good defense forces turnovers. And they've, you know, from a yardage standpoint, they didn't give up a ton of yards against Detroit.
Right.
You know, that part of that was field position. But, yeah, they got to start creating turnovers and sacks. And they didn't rush the passer all that well against Detroit. And they're going up against this week against a team that turned it over five times last yeah. week against a really cruddy Arizona team. So if they're not getting turnovers in this game, then that might be who they are. You know, just a team that doesn't force turnovers. You know?
Right. Is there... If I don't know, well, I guess Aaliyah, I'm curious for you because I came in, I did not cover a game until week one, which is that's fine. But then Aaron Rodgers hurts his knee at halftime and has it. I don't know. Is there I guess turnover. You mentioned turnovers. I guess that's what I'm looking for Monday night. Is this defense? You wrote about it. Lack of playmakers making big plays. Some of that was the offense. I'm more curious about the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If someone can, like Perry, Clay Matthews, Mike Daniels, Kenny, I mean, someone do something.
Yeah.
I know you're coming in sort of brand new. So just generally speaking, is there anything you want to see or you're interested in seeing? Aside from, of course, 70,000 people at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, oh, that'll be a spectacle. It'll be my first time at Lambeau with actual non-us people there. So that'll be something. No, I'm just hoping, like, it would be good to see some forced turnovers. I think getting the ball rolling on that, I think, I agree. I think that could be big. And, yeah, I don't...
Especially, like, what you were saying with Aaron talking about getting that offense going. Like, we can mention Aaron Jones all we want, but... If you have 30 yards to go,
right,
or 40 yards to go for a score, as opposed to 75, 80, or whatever it may be,
yeah,
that's a good antidote for
sure.
bad offense as well.
And if the offense can really get going, how does that elevate the defense?
Right.
Considering right now, I think you would agree the defense seems to be performing higher in a higher
right.
level
yeah,
than the
they've
offense.
Been a little more for their inconsistency. They've been more consistent
yeah.
right.
than that offense.
I mean, they've had some bad moments, but I think they've had fewer bad moments
right.
than the offense. And the offense hasn't been god awful. They just haven't been up to par, up
right.
to what the
with,
standard
right.
is with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And you know, I think health is the biggest variable. They haven't adjusted to Aaron Rodgers being hurt. The whole team, I mean, the whole offense, the coaching staff, everybody.
Right.
I think that's a new, I think they'll look back at the end of the year and say, yeah, we never really took into account how hurt he was,
right.
you know, so. All right. Well, I think we've covered just about everything that we could possibly cover. Do you want to do predictions?
Sure.
Ooh, we're going to put Olivia on the spot.
Ooh,
here.
Yeah.
Don't be a homer.
Don't be a homer.
Is that the criticism?
No. I may have picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. But anyway,
nice pick there,
yeah.
pal.
That's been like 4 years in a row. But I was an AFC guy ahead
Well,
of
you used to pick the Bengals to win it every 2 years, too.
Right? I did not. That's not true. Although I did pick them to go to the playoffs this year. And who's right?
Yeah, they are pretty
so
good.
So far, they're pretty good. I'll go first this week.
Okay.
I actually picked the Lions to win last week because I was sort of, I was in the mode of I need to see it to believe it. So I will not think, I don't know if we'll see this offensive explosion. But they are better. So I do think it'll be 28-14 Packers. It'll be easy in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll look better. But I don't... I mean, 28 points right now is going to feel amazing
yeah.
if they score that many touchdowns.
Yeah.
And yes, Mason Crosby makes all of his extra points.
That's important clarification.
Good
there.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not overwhelming, not underwhelming, just right. whelming right. is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth, and I sort of wanted to put the pressure on them by picking them like 41-7 or something because, come on. I mean, yeah. this is a bad team they're facing, and they're heading into the bye and all of that. They should crush these guys, but I don't believe that's going to happen. I think it'll be a lackluster, another lackluster performance. It'll be 31, I'll say 17, maybe 14,
all right.
maybe 13. All
right. Well, now but,
huh. By the end of the day, smooth, shut out.
Yeah. No, by the end of the day, I'll have the 49ers.
Okay, so now I feel pressure to go a little bit to the extremes because you guys have played it a little safe. And what
yeah,
fun is it if
true,
you don't have an extreme in there? Yeah, I also would like, I mean, I could see them. It should be, realistically, it should be a safer win. So, I would like, let's go with 42, just 42, 14.
There you go.
Just a little crazy.
So, okay.
All right.
Well, last week, Tom thought the offense was going to come back.
Yeah, I did. Dumb.
Yeah.
Well, if it were to be any week, why not this week?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be the week that Aaron Jones gets the ball.
Yeah. We rushing the ball more this week? Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us,
yeah.
and I hope you enjoyed our new guest, Olivia, and we'll be back after the 49ers game, late Monday
late.
Night, Tuesday morning, but we'll have all the wrap-up, and be sure you join us. Be sure you check JS Online and PackersNews.com for all our updates. Don't forget to go to the live blog on Monday night. I'll be expecting you. And be sure you check out Olivia's videos this week because the pressure is on.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Dun-dun-dun.
Right. Yeah, Academy Award winning video.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
First, what is that? You're gonna have her be nominated for an Emmy within 2 days?
Hey, you join the... This crew, you know, you're expected to
yeah.
be a good
tackle. Well, clearly, I've only been here 5 weeks, and he's already kicked me to the curb. Not
yeah, well,
anything.
My expectations for you weren't so high. Olivia's got she's got much better credentials. She's smarter than both of us combined. Not even close. Anyway, okay, I'm going to start the music, and everybody say goodbye.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.